So each of these gospel readings that the church chooses for the scrutinies is meant to put before us, and particularly before those who are to be baptized, these various ways in which God goes beyond really everything that's been expected, right? If we go back to, even as they do in the gospel today, back to the man born blind, right? This had never been done before, that someone actually born blind, seen as deformed from the beginning, had been restored. And Jesus, by his very action, makes this claim. This is something that only the Creator himself could do. And now we find today as well that he shatters the expectations around the powers over life and death. In fact, going beyond just the powers of life and death, it's as if he sets things in an entirely new dimension. And so this line that Martha so very practically says, there will be a stench, he's been in the tomb for 4 days, is not simply practical, that there will indeed be a smell. But it's also the recognition of when a certain theological perspective within Judaism believed the soul and the body were no longer integrated. They were beyond being reunited, except by God himself. So we hear this first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, and this promise that God would open up the graves of his people. We know also the image of Ezekiel with the dry bones, that people, the dead being brought back together, and their spirit being given back to them. This is something that is only within the authority of God to do. And so Jesus does it. Of course, definitively for us as disciples of Jesus, our being called out of the tombs actually begins at our baptism. So this is why this is put before those of you who are to be baptized, that definitively your relationship with life and death is changed as you are baptized. You are alive in a new way. Your relationship, even with biological death, has changed by virtue of the baptism you will receive. But I think also this reading is put before us because Lazarus's situation after this is what all of us who have been baptized experience. It is where we find ourselves now. Because Lazarus had to come out of this changed, and it's clear that so many who witnessed this, particularly Mary and Martha and Lazarus himself, believe in Jesus as God. But yet, death comes again for Lazarus. In fact, not too long after this, the religious authorities begin trying to scheme not just about how to kill Jesus, but they also want to kill Lazarus to essentially get rid of the evidence that Jesus has done something so definitively divine that it demands a response. So Lazarus lives this new way of seeing life, still with the reality over him that biological death can and will come for him again. Don't we labor under that reality too? We know that when we are baptized, we are not given biological immortality. That was maybe afforded to our first parents, and they squandered our inheritance there. And so we live in this place where the body, as St. Paul says in our second reading, is dead, right? As a result of our first parents' sin, we live under the effects of entropy and all of the stuff that goes with it. We age, we get sick, we get injured. And so as the result of that first sin, our bodies will meet with biological death. But the spirit, that which we truly are, is alive by the very life of God, his spirit dwelling within us. And so we do live, as C.S. Lewis says, a kind of amphibious life, a life in two worlds. One that is indeed biologically real, yet one that is also authentically raised to a new pitch. So have we confronted that? St. Paul says at a different point in one of his letters that it's through the fear of death that sin entered into the world. And if we go back to Genesis, to the conversation of the serpent with our first parents, that's the bait on the hook. Oh, you think that God is protecting you from death, that if you eat this fruit, you will die. He's saying that to lie to you. Actual immortality, being like gods, that comes from you taking that fruit. And so this is the reflection of St. Paul on that reality that our first parents, stung by that fear, oh, God's keeping something from me and so I will die, so I will take matters into my own hands and try and establish some form of permanence. And isn't that the story of all of our sins? I will plant my flag on this thing, on this conception of reality. I will throw myself into some sort of pleasure because the intensity of it makes me feel alive, when maybe what I feel in my boredom or less pleasant things seems to be death. All of our sins are a grasping at a fake immortality, attempting to create within ourselves what only God can, a definitive victory over death. So have we confronted that, our fear of death? And not just biological death, as it will come for us at some point, but again, all of its precursors, all of the effects of entropy. When we are injured, when we're sick, when we age. In a particular way, I notice as a millennial, millennials and those who are adjacent to us, we in a particular way drank in this kind of nihilism that was there culturally in a way that I don't see in Gen X and in the baby boomers, and that Gen Z is flocking to religion, frankly, in a rebuke of us millennials. We don't want the hopelessness that you seem to be stuck in. So it's vital that we confront the jokes we make about getting old, the jokes that we make about our injuries and aches and pains. It's vital that we are, yes, honest about the reality that we will die, but also honest about what the power of Christ alive in us does. No, it doesn't mean that our hair won't go gray or that our back won't hurt for strange reasons. But how willing are we to enter into the ways in which our life has changed? How willing are we to open that door? Can we ponder how Lazarus might have lived differently? Certainly, if John, the author of the gospel, knew that people were planning to kill Lazarus, Lazarus had to have found out too. What would his heart have done in the face of that fear? We actually have more than Lazarus had. Not because we've been brought back to biological life, but because we have seen that Jesus, that God himself, has gone to the realm of death and conquered it. Have we confronted, yes, the reality that we will die, but the fact that Jesus offers to us everything that we need to live, yes, to live into eternity when biological reality is restored to us at the resurrection of the living and the dead. But even now, where we are no longer imprisoned by our first parents' sins or temptation, that in the fear of death we seek out sin, but instead to live with the confidence of the baptized, that the very life of Christ, his spirit, dwells in us in a way that death cannot claim. The Eucharist is the food of immortality. It's why it is the pinnacle of the sacraments of initiation, that we are initiated into the church, which is God's kingdom, which is Christ's body. And so by receiving that food of immortality, we share in the life of the Spirit that has opened up an utterly new dimension and way of being. So as we walk with those who prepare to be baptized, may we who have been baptized unfold that gift more deeply and receive that new life more fully as we pray for them and as we ourselves receive our Lord who has died but dies no more, who lives victorious and shares his life with us.